Amen. Well, let's just turn over a few pages from where Terry was ministering to us from, to John chapter 13. I said the last time we had a visiting speaker, how interesting it was, how the thoughts often merge with what the main speaker would have to say and what we'd have to say in our devotion around the Lord's table. And it's no less true today. John chapter 13, just reading verse 1. John chapter 13 and verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. First of all, very briefly, what I want to consider with you is what Jesus knew. And we could answer that question in a very broad sense. And again, Terry brought some of those ideas out. That Jesus, because he's the Almighty God, knows everything. He's all power. He's all knowledge. And yet, when we look in this verse, I don't believe it's talking in that general, broad, all-encompassing sense of the knowledge of Jesus. There is a specific knowledge here that it's speaking of. That when Jesus knew that his hour was come. From time to time, Liam, when he's sharing with us, would say that if some of us knew what was ahead of us in a day, we probably wouldn't get out of bed. And I think that's so true. Certainly on certain days, if we knew what was ahead, we'd probably just stay where we are. So maybe it's just as well we don't know what a day brings forth. But when it comes to the Lord Jesus, he knew what every day would bring forth. And he especially knew that this hour, and specifically in this verse, it's called his hour, his time, or his moment, the very moment for which he came into the world. And there's a sense in which, as we come here this morning, we're leading up to a moment. Not saying that the Lord's table is the most important time in our, we're not saying it's more important than the preaching, for we do put the preaching of the word as a very important part of our service. But there's a sense in which we lead up to that moment. And in the life of Jesus, there was a leading up to a moment which is called here in verse 1, his hour. Notice back in chapter 12 and in verse 31, it says, now is the judgment of this world. And Terry made reference to a certain 80,000 people singing in a certain place, and I was watching the rugby final, the Heineken Cup and Munster, and as I watched them lifting that trophy, the one idea that came to me very strong was that this was the moment that all these men had been looking for. This was the time that was all their effort, all their energies, all their training, all their disappointments, all their hopes was leading to that one moment when they could lift that trophy. And you could see the victory, you could see the relief, you could see the triumph, you could see the sense of the moment that was so special. But for the Lord Jesus, in a much more profound way, in a much more meaningful way, in a much more eternally beneficial way, his time was coming. And Jesus wants his disciples to focus on this moment when he says, now is the judgment. This was his hour. And when we look at the cross, it's so easy to see, humanly speaking, all the bad. But when Jesus looks forward to the cross, he sees it as the moment of victory, because it's not going to be defeat for him. It's not going to be defeat for his people, but it's going to be defeat for the prince of this world. I remember many years ago, Terry, in the back, and I think you were, I'm sure you were there, Dan, as well, and there was a bit of a debate. I won't mention any names for the sake of being recorded, but there was a bit of a debate. We'll give that person time to turn off their phone. Yes, thanks. There was a bit of a debate in the back room about if Satan knew what the cross was all about. Do you remember that, do you? And there was a bit of sort of different. Do you remember that, Dan? Do you? Yeah. And there was a strong opinion on one side that Satan did know and was trying to prevent Jesus from going to the cross, and then there was those who held a view. No, Satan was completely spiritually ignorant of these things. And the devil didn't know what the effect of the cross would be. The devil is spiritually blind. And sometimes I think we attribute too much to the devil. We give him too much credit. But Satan was unaware of the effect that this would have. And yet the Lord Jesus here proclaims, now the prince of this world will be cast out. And if I be lifted up, in verse 32, I will draw all men unto me. But then going back to verse 1 of chapter 13, from Jesus' knowledge to Jesus' love. And first of all, who did he love? It says, he knew that his hour was come that he should depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own which were in the world. And we do say unashamedly, when it comes to the cross, that the love of Jesus was not just general, not just a general love, but there was a specific love. Not just a general love for everybody, but a love for his people. Now I'm one of the people who holds the view when it comes to John 3:16, and it says, for God so loved the world. I believe that's a general statement of God's love for the world. I think sometimes, as Calvinists, we spend too much time debating that issue. I think it means general love for the world. But if I can give a personal illustration, I love Ballantyr. But there's a reason why I love Ballantyr. It's where my home is. It's where my family is. It's where my children go to school. It's where my children play. It's where my children grow and my family eat together. And there's a specific reason why I love Ballantyr. I love Ballantyr more than any other place in the world. But it's not because I love everybody in Ballantyr. It's because that's where my family is. And I believe when John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world, there's a specific reason why God loves the world. It's because that's where his bride is. That's where his people is. And the scripture tells us that when the final one comes into the fold, that's it. The end will come. A specific reason. And it says here, and we know there's many other references in John's Gospel that could support this idea, that when Jesus went to the cross, he wasn't going in some general, hopeful way that some people would be saved. But he knew exactly who would be saved. And he went for that people to the cross, having loved his own which were in the world. But then finally, and I didn't mean to be this long, forgive me for that, how he loved. Who he loved, but now how he loved. He loved them unto the end. We love sometimes partially, temporarily, with mixed degrees of intensity. But Jesus never changed in his love for you and for me, who are his people. His love didn't just bring him to a certain degree, to a certain place. It brought him to Golgotha. It brought him to Calvary. It brought him to the cross. And when Jesus went to the cross, I was thinking of this morning, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And that prayer was answered that very day. For one could say, "Truly, this is the Son of God." And that prayer was answered. The prayers of Jesus were answered even on that day. The only prayer of Jesus that was not answered, I would suggest, was, "If it be possible, may this cup pass from me." That wasn't possible. And Terry made reference to Jesus speaking the word in a moment. Powerful illustration of the power of Christ. There's one thing he couldn't do to save us. He couldn't just say it. He had to do something. He had to go to the cross and suffer. The one thing that God Almighty couldn't do. I remember one preacher making this point. Might have even been Terry, I'm not sure, many years ago. That if there was any other way possible, he suggested that God would have chosen a different way to save us. The fact that the Son of God went to the cross means it was the only way we could have been saved. The Lord Jesus himself said, "The Son of Man must needs suffer." He saved himself, he saved others. Himself, he cannot save. And those who said those words probably didn't understand the reality of what they were saying. He saved others. Himself, he could not save if we were going to be his people. Bless him. And bless the Savior this morning that not only did he love us, but he loved us unto the end. Amen.